Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 7 tonight, Hebrews chapter 7, and this is going to be a study more than a sermon. We won't spend a lot of time on each point, but it's something that's very interesting for us to see regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. What we'll talk about today is the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is far superior to the priesthood of any man on this earth. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to get us and guide us through the study. Jeremy, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Amen. You know, in any type of religion, at some point, a man is going to bring to himself more authority and more control and more honor than the Lord prescribed when he was setting up his ministries. What did he say about his own disciples? He said, if you guys want to be great, he said, what do you need to do? You need to be servants. You need to be ministers. You want to be chief? Then be the minister. Be the servant. And that was the way the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came as a servant. He didn't set up a great big religious organizational structure. As a matter of fact, he died penniless and left 12 very helpless feeling disciples to carry on the work. And when the Spirit of God affected those men, great things happened. And, you know, at one time Peter was called away to preach and came to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius bowed down and wanted to give him reverence and honor because Peter was a man of notoriety. He had so much of the healing power of God on him that they would lay sick people in his shadow hoping that he would be healed. And he told that guy, he said, stand up. I myself as a man as thou art. And they never brought to themselves this attention of great honor. But as men have put together the religions on earth that are basically man's attempt to make himself good enough to be acceptable to God, they have set up that organization that has a priest or an elder or some sort of a bishop-type figure that is greater than the constituents or the congregation that he serves. And when you have a high priest like Jesus Christ, you don't need anything like that. And so that's why we want to look at this tonight. There's a great difference between what Jesus Christ accomplished as a priest and what was given to the priest in the Old Testament under Aaron. And once you've got Jesus Christ as the priest, you know what? You take it up with him directly, and you have all the voice with God you need. I remember one time years ago, we were at a family reunion, and our family wanted to stay for the entire weekend. I'm talking about our extended family, cousins and all their family. And they didn't want to have to go back to town for Mass on Sunday because most of them were Catholic. So they invited their priest out, and he said Mass for them in the church building that's at the ranch. And when my wife found out that they were going to have that service, she went to the oldest cousin and said, equal time, if the priest is going to get to do the Mass, my husband gets to do the sermon. And she said, sounds like a good idea to me. So she came and told me, said, I got it all set up. You're preaching tonight. On Saturday night. I said, great. So I opened my Bible. I had one sermon in here, in my Bible. And that sermon was why Jesus Christ is a better high priest than a Catholic priest. It's the only sermon I had in my Bible. So he got up and he did his Mass and he sat right down like that while I stood up right here in front of the family members that were there to preach. And every point I gave about how much Jesus Christ was so much better than an earthly priest, he said, amen, amen. So it may be the only time you ever heard it, but he pretended not to disagree with it. And so that was pretty interesting. And when you think about that, the truth of the matter is, you know what we all need to say in the face of Jesus Christ? Amen, amen. If I got you, I don't need that senior elder type person controlling or directing my faith. I got the best priest. Let's look at some comparisons, even with the priesthood that God gave to the Levites and to Aaron, and notice some things. For first thing, and I won't make you turn to every scripture because there's a lot of them, and if we go through all of those tonight, you know, you might bog down in the study. We don't want to do that. In Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 17, you don't have to turn there. One of the first requirements in Aaron's line of priest, in other words, this went on down to his sons, is those men had to be without blemish. If they were blemished in some way, their nose was flattened or they had some sort of a sore or some sort of a spotted type of face and stuff like that, they couldn't serve. It had to be without blemish. May I tell you something? Jesus Christ, our text we read here tonight, was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He, the Bible says, was without sin. You talk about not blemished. He's far greater than any earthly priest. Look in Hebrews chapter 5 and notice something else. In Hebrews chapter 5, a priest in the Aaronic line was called by God because Aaron was called. Notice Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, no man taketh this honor unto himself. Well, unfortunately, a lot of men do today. But the Bible says, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, and he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So as Aaron was called by God, so Jesus Christ was called by God. And therefore, he has a legitimate high priesthood. You'll notice something else in Exodus chapter 29 and verse 7. Aaron, the Aaronic priest, they were anointed with oil. This was a requirement for them to be consecrated into the priesthood. They had to be anointed with oil. A comment was made about that in Psalm 117, about how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It's like the oil that ran down upon his head and on his beard when Aaron was anointed. Look in Hebrews chapter 1 at verse 9 and notice God didn't miss anything. As Aaron was anointed with oil, likewise Jesus Christ was anointed. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're in the context of a passage of Scripture dealing with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness, what? Above thy fellows. And nobody in his anointed role is anointed higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. The clothing of the priest in Leviticus chapter 16 was very specific. He had a robe and an ephod and a coat, had the girdle, and had the breastplate that had to be placed on the ephod. He had a crown and a mitre to go on the crown. and even talked about the linen breeches that he had to wear. Gloriously clothed were the priests in the Old Testament. The sons, when Aaron was anointed, were also consecrated, but they weren't in the same glorious. They were just wore bonnets and kind of a white linen robe. But that priest was wearing something that was absolutely beautiful and gloriously clothed. Look in Isaiah chapter 63 and notice something about your Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 1. Now the answer to the question in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 1 is Jesus Christ. That's the answer to the question that's raised. But notice the description that's given. Isaiah 63, 1, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness mighty to save. That's who it is. It's Jesus Christ. And notice that he is glorious in his apparel. That when you see him, you are going to be marvelously impressed. And we sang a song tonight about seeing Jesus Christ face to face. It's going to be quite a wonderful thing. You're close enough now. You're in the Old Testament. Go over to Exodus chapter 29. I keep quoting for you various aspects of the Aaronic priesthood. Take a look at one of these. Notice in Exodus chapter 29, there's that clothing we talked about in verse 5, the glorious apparel. Thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat, the robe, the ephod, the breastplate, girded with the curious girdle of the ephod. Now notice verse 6 of Exodus 29. Thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. So the priest is crowned. May I tell you something about the Lord Jesus Christ? He's crowned. The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse 5, that he's crowned with glory and honor. How's he crowned in Revelation chapter 19 before he comes back? You know? Many crowns. Many crowns. You keep seeing the thing that there's a continuity here. God had his priest set up a certain way when he brings his high priest. He's set up in a similar fashion, but better. But better. Look in, you're in Exodus. Are you still in Exodus? Look at Exodus chapter 28 at verse 30. Exodus chapter 28 and look at verse 30. Thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. Okay. And thou shalt be upon Aaron, they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Now the way this thing was set up, he wore the ephod, and then the breastplate was attached by ribbons and gold rings to the ephod. The ephod was like a t-shirt. And this breastplate was such that when you folded it over, it was a span square. And it had jewels in it in four rows, three per row, and in those jewels were engraved the names of the children of Israel representing the 12 tribes, the sons of Jacob. And the Urim and Thummim then would be placed inside of that material because it's folded up like this and attached. The Urim and Thummim goes in there. The translation of that is lights and perfections. And apparently then, when the priest inquired of God, that thing would light up and show the colors of those jewels. And since there were letters on there, they could then understand by the letters that lit up what the answer was from the Lord. The modern perverted version of that is the Ouija board. Okay? So that's how they inquired of the Lord. So that thing was on there. And he had the Urim and the Thummim and bore the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Well, Jesus Christ goes one better than that, like he does in every capacity, because Jesus doesn't need the Urim and the Thummim. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And bears us in his hearts. You know, the Bible, we read in Hebrews 7:25, he maketh intercession for us before the Lord. That's way better than what the priest could do. Now, you noticed that the plate in the mitre in Exodus 28:38 or 36 is a plate of pure gold, and it's engraved with a signet, holiness to the Lord. Hebrews 28:37 says, and thou shalt put upon it the a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. So it's tied on there. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron, watch it, may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always be upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So what made them accepted when they offered their gifts before the Lord is that the iniquity of their holy things was upon the crown of the priest that would offer those things. And therefore, God would accept them as holy offerings before the Lord. Well, you know what Isaiah 53 says about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord has laid on him, the iniquity of us all. The reason we can be presented as a sacrifice before the Lord and can present our bodies a living sacrifice is the iniquity of that holy thing is already laid on Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. You know why Aaron got involved in this thing in the first place? I'm talking about this whole operation with God. You know why Aaron got involved in the first place? Because Moses wanted him. I'm not sure that he needed him, but he said, I'm slow of speech. I don't know if he, you know, what his speech impediment was, but he begged off that thing. He said, man, I can't do this. I'm slow of speech. I don't want to. And finally, God said, you know what, dude? We're going to take your brother. Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. I mean, the Lord told him in verse 12, he says, therefore go, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send, not me. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. He shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. You know what Jesus Christ came down here and did? He became the spokesman for God Almighty. Because whatever God wanted him to say, that's what he said. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verses 1 and 2. The Bible says in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us how? By his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So there's your spokesman right there. In every capacity, Jesus Christ replaces the necessity for the Aaronic priesthood. There's no need to have any kind of a hierarchical setup where you got to go through somebody to get to God. You go through Jesus Christ, you're going through something better than they could do in the Old Testament. Now, we're not going to go back to the Old Testament, look at this, but in Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 14, a priest had to be very, very careful about who he married. Couldn't marry a widow, couldn't marry a woman that had been defiled in any capacity. Had to marry a virgin. That tell you anything about Jesus Christ? You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 about the church? Paul says, I've espoused you unto him as a chaste virgin. And so Jesus Christ is going to get an appropriate bride for a priest. Now, I know you and you know me, and there's a lot of cleaning up that needs yet to be done. We sang the song tonight, The Cleansing Wave, and thank God for it. you and I die or we're raptured out of here, we're going to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what he's going to do? With the washing of the word, just like those boys were consecrated, just like Aaron was sprinkled, God is going to present the church to him, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And Paul will present us to the Lord Jesus Christ as a chaste virgin, an appropriate bride for a priest. See, God has it covered in every capacity. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Aren't you glad with this many points we didn't have a long introduction? Speaking of my younger buddy in the back. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 11. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, what's the problem? Which can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So, as a priest, he was able to offer a sacrifice just like Aaron did, but Aaron offered the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus Christ offered his own body. They offered as sinners. He offered without sin. They offered something else. He offered his own body. They have to offer all the time. He offered once. There's a great contrast, but it shows just how superior the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ is to anything that the priest could offer in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come an high priest, Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Aaron could only get into the tabernacle that was down here. His offspring could only get into the temple that Solomon had built, and only once in a year could they go into the Holy of Holies, and then with incense, and then with the blood to put on the mercy seat. Jesus Christ went into something better than that, because those are just a pattern of things that are in heaven. He went right in there with his own blood. He entered into that holy place and obtained eternal redemption. And you and I today do not have to go to a man or offer a sacrifice. The sacrifice has been made. We go to Jesus Christ, and that sacrifice takes care of your sin, and you get in on what he's already done. A good thing. Now, I'll show you one other interesting, curious thing, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. Go back to Numbers chapter 35. Some of you are familiar with a sort of an odd law concerning a man that was suspected of murder. In Numbers chapter 35, when a man was suspected of murder, if he'd committed murder and there were two witnesses that could testify to that, they killed him. And there was no life sentence. There was no fine. He just died. If he was suspected of murder and it was found out at his trial that he had not murdered somebody, he had run to a city of refuge and there sought protection until he could be tried, and it found out that it was an innocent deal, an accidental death, then he was not killed by the revenger of blood, but he had to stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. And that's kind of a strange thing. What if that high priest was a young man? Boy, he's going to be out of his own place for a long time. Notice Numbers chapter 35 and verse 25. Numbers 35, 25. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. That's a seemingly obscure, strange kind of a law. He goes to the city of refuge. He's protected. He goes back home. They have the trial. They find out he's innocent. Back to the city of refuge. Stay there to the death of the high priest. Until you think about Jesus Christ, the high priest. Because you know what? Every Old Testament saint that died went to a city of refuge called Abraham's bosom. And when their high priest, Jesus Christ, died, they got to go home. Ephesians chapter 4 said, he led captivity captive, and where he went, they got to go. And that, my friend, is a wonderful reason for this little law right here. Isn't it something? How everything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ was foreshadowed in the Old Testament in the Aaronic priesthood and then doubled up, multiplied, and made 100 times better in Jesus Christ. And thank God we're on this side of the cross instead of that side. And our high priest lives today, and his sacrifice was sufficient for us. Praise the Lord. All right, let's, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to study your word. It's a great privilege to see just how great your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, really is. We are encouraged by the things we've heard tonight, Father. May we continue to honor and uphold our Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.